Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd love to hear from you on this edition. If you have something you'd like to discuss, a Bible question or a struggle that you're having in life, well, we want to give you the phone number right now so that you can call straight into the studio, that number 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. Give us a call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's a powerful passage out of Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Talk about good news.
That's big. This is
good news. This is really, really big. And this is the case for grace. If you're trying to put yourself in a position where you're right with God through human effort, through obedience to the law, through any other method other than faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to be out of luck. There's no way to remove that label of condemnation that was attached to you. I mean, you came into this world dead in trespasses and sins. You were under the condemnation, under the judgment of God. It's because you were in Adam, but now through faith in Jesus Christ, you've been transferred out of Adam and you've been placed into Jesus Christ. And in Christ, there's no condemnation. Why? Because he took the condemnation for you. He who knew no sin became sin on your behalf so that you might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the good news. This is what the Christmas story is all about. The angels appeared to the shepherds and said, fear not. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born, Christ the Lord, and he is going to be the cause of great joy among the people. Well, why did he say that? Because as a Savior, Jesus was going to die for our sins. He was going to release us from our bondage to the law of sin and death. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
In dying for our sins, he set us free. So there is no more condemnation for us. Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, if you're struggling with forgiveness, if you're struggling with fear and guilt and shame, this is really a passage for you. And there's no other way for you to experience this truth apart from faith in Jesus Christ, apart from resting in what he accomplished for you 2,000 years ago through his finished work on the cross. And when you trust him, then you're identified with Christ in his death, you're identified with Christ in his burial, and you're identified with Christ in his resurrection. Died in Christ, raised to walk in the newness of life. This newness of life is characterized by this marvelous truth. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
And what good news that is, Bob. Again, thank you for that, on getting this broadcast underway with that good news that you hear, the type of good news, friends, that you hear every day on Basic Gospel. And we would love to hear from you if you have something you'd like to share, maybe how grace has had an impact in your life through the Lord Jesus. Well, give us a call at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Friends, Galatians 4 reveals an amazing truth that when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sonship. Christmas time, of course, reminds us of this amazing truth, that in Christ Jesus we have received that gift of sonship. And friends, your gifts to Basic Gospel are helping us to reveal the truth about Jesus, deepening faith in hearts and lives and families all over North America and beyond. And for that reason, we're asking your help to make a generous gift before the 31st to help us meet that critical need that we revealed a few days ago as being about $210,000. And Bob says we have chipped into that a bit, but we still have a way to go, and we really want you to have the blessing of being a part of meeting that need. That sounds like a lot, but with everyone pitching in, no matter how large or small, we will see that need met. Of course, God always works through his people to make things happen like this. Of course, you can visit basicgospel.net and click donate and make your most generous Christmas time gift. And again, thank you for standing with us to proclaim the greatest message the world will ever know, the fullness of the love, grace, and life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We would love to hear from you today. 844-322-2742. And Bob, I guess let's go to those phones now.
Let's do go to our phone lines. And as you said, we do have some other lines available open to you right now at 844-322-2742. We're going to start in Kansas with our good friend Tracy. Hi, Tracy. You are on the air.
Hi, Bob. Good to talk to both you guys again.
Hey, Tracy.
I shared a post. It says, I came to believe that true love and forgiveness is not shown in an action, but the result of an action. And so I explain this. If I was to use an example, I would use Jesus on the cross. He was tortured, head, blood, whatever you want to say. That's the action. But the result of the action was us having eternal life through what he did on the cross. And, of course, his resurrection, everything, giving us eternal life. So we go through everyday life. We shouldn't be worried about our actions should be the most important thing, but the result of what we do should be, and it always should result in Jesus, right? Or him, resulting in him or of him. Would that be a good way to say that?
Well, definitely. I mean, actions flow from belief. So the belief is central and core to who we are and to how this life is going to be lived out in day-to-day life. So we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe that Jesus is the bread of life, the light of the world, and all of those things that he said about him, about himself, that he is the vine, he's the source. And as we trust him and walk by faith in him, then, you know, actions are going to flow from that. And those actions are going to look a lot like love. And I think that's how Paul put it in Galatians chapter 5. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. John talks about that. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we love others. So those two things go hand in glove. Belief expresses itself in action, and that action is the love of God that is flowing through us. Does that make sense?
Because I know people are struggling with the final outcome, and I was wanting to ask the question. I know some people won't ask, but I already knew the answer. But I wanted to ask a question where people, they're struggling with certain situations that you don't worry about the outcome. You let Jesus worry about that. That's not our thing. Ours is just to express himself through ourselves. So I tell everybody it's by grace through faith, with faith expressing itself in love. And I've used them two sentences together, and I believe that's my saying I want to go by now for the rest of my life. I'd love just to live by that.
Absolutely.
It's the message with Jesus right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tracy, it's kind of interesting. One of the things we get all worried about is faith, the size of our faith, the might of our faith, and those sort of things. And we begin to look at faith, you know. There's lots of people that will ask the question, did I really respond to Jesus in faith? And they start to raise all kinds of doubts and concerns. You know, did I do it right? Was my faith the way it was supposed to be? So they get their eyes focused on their faith. And then they think, well, my faith isn't big enough. So they start praying to God, Lord, make my faith bigger. And then they start to think my faith isn't effective enough. I'm not seeing change and impact in life around me. So we start praying for that. And I think what you're saying here, Tracy, is exactly right. We need to stop worrying about that and simply keep our eyes on Jesus. He's going to take care of that, isn't he? Why? Because he is the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. So he showed up on the scene and told us about his love, told us about what he accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection, and we responded to that in faith. We weren't worried about faith at that moment. We were just responding to Jesus. We were seeing Jesus for who he is and for what he had accomplished, and faith happened. And I think it's the same in, you know, daily living as far as the Christian life is concerned. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, he's going to take care of all of this, isn't he?
Yes, he will.
Yeah.
Beautiful to see when you come to understand who he truly is. I mean, if you look in some of the things that, you know, think of what he could have done on the cross if he really wanted to. He didn't have to die. He could have just, you know, just said, heck, I'm not doing this. I'm doing this for everybody. I'm going to show my true power of God, just take everybody out and say, see, I won. But he showed, when people look at the actions like that, they're saying, okay, that's an act of power. That's not an act of love. His greatest power is through his act of love is through what people would say weakness. Well, Jesus is weak. He didn't even do that. He didn't fight. He didn't do that. He didn't do nothing. Oh, he just went up the cross and died. Didn't do nothing. Okay. But in that time of weakness, look at his strength now. When people say, what's that mean? Well, weakness was shown right there. But what's his strength now? Boom. He took over death. He took over sin. He destroyed both of them. Said, you have eternal life to me now.
That's exactly right.
And when I thought he was weak, he showed them just the opposite. No, you don't understand what I'm doing, but later on you will thank me for it. I think he says that somewhere. You don't know what I'm doing now, but later on you will understand or thank me later.
Yes, indeed.
And I love them passages when they go together. I love them.
Yes, indeed. Well, Tracy, thanks for...
Yeah,
you too. Thanks for jumping on with us today. We sure appreciate you, my friend.
Yeah, I love you both. Have a Merry Christmas. Thanks.
You too. Thank you, Tracy.
Yeah. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you again. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Northern California and talk with Lindy. Hi, Lindy.
Yes. God bless you. Hello. How are you doing?
We're doing okay. What's on your mind today?
Well, before I forget, I want to say, may the God of all grace, who hath given to us, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. No, that's not what I wanted to say. Okay, but the God of all grace, who has called us, has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Since the category was grace, I wanted to give that. But mainly I called because I wanted to say that what President Trump is going through is learning how to trust in the Lord and not in man. As the Bible says in Psalms 118:8, it's better to trust in God than to put confidence in man. And he is putting trust in his money, his position, all his lawyers, all his investigators, all the people that he's got hired to figure things out for him. And, you know, but he needs to just relax and let God show his power, because, you know, the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And we all know that Biden does not love the Lord. So, and Jesus and Trump is giving Bible studies and he's in the Oval Office. And, I mean, he's doing so many things that shows that he does love the Lord.
Yeah, well, Lindy, you're making some good points as far as what's needed for every single individual. And I think as far as we as believers are concerned, I think we pray for those in leadership. And we pray that they will see the goodness of God and that they will come to a point where their faith truly is in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's our prayer for all of our leaders, regardless of what party they're in, regardless of what they may look like on the surface at any given moment. I think we pray for them that they would have some type of an internal revelation about the truth of God that is revealed to us in Christ Jesus. And Lindy, we appreciate your comments. We appreciate what you're saying about our politicians and putting it in perspective as far as God being the central figure of human history and what he is doing in this world through Christ Jesus as being the central work that will stand eternally as human history. So thank you so much for your call. We sure appreciate it, and Merry Christmas to you.
Absolutely. Well, we'd love to hear from you, friends. Again, 844-322-2742. And, Bob, I've been wanting to get to this particular question from Jessica from California for several days, but I wanted to be sure to get to it today. It's a little bit long, but I think if we bear with it, we'll understand where she's coming from. She says, first of all, thank you so much for your wonderful ministry. I've been a believer in Christ Jesus for over 20 years and have also suffered from an eating disorder both before I was a Christian and all throughout my walk with Christ. I was hospitalized for anorexia nervosa when I was 19 and was weight restored, but I never fully healed emotionally. I'm now 37 and suffer from what the health professionals call atypical anorexia. I scrupulously count calories, rigidly exercise, and have a hard time eating around others. Wait until nighttime to eat my rations for the day, and I'm afraid of gaining weight and losing control around food, but I'm no longer severely emaciated. I was in ballet for several years in the ballet world. Extreme thinness is highly prized and rewarded. I know that this is worldly and that my identity is God's beloved daughter in Christ, not being thin and beautiful and disciplined, but I am still defeated by this. I renew my mind every day in the Scripture. I sing and rejoice in Him a lot. I also fellowship with solid believers, and yet I can't seem to shake this eating disorder. What should I do, she asks. Does the Lord turn away from me when I chew food and spit it out?
Well, we'll start right there, and the answer to that is absolutely not. God does not turn away from us, His children. He has sent His Spirit to take up residence in us, so He is with us always, and He has promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. So we live our lives in the grace of God. We live our lives in His favor. As we just read at the top of the program, in Christ there is no condemnation. So there is no condemnation for you, and you can rest assured of that. So you're gonna struggle. You've had a lifelong struggle with food, and that struggle isn't going to go away overnight. You have imprinted in the members of your body a certain way of life as far as food is concerned, and so it's going to plague you. It's going to be there for a long time, and certain things can trigger it. And when that happens, God isn't going to walk away. He isn't going to turn His back. He's not going to do any of those things. He is right there with you. So I think that's the first thing, is to recognize that truth and to rejoice in that truth, that God is right there with you. There's no condemnation for you because you are in Christ Jesus. So I think you start saying thank you. I think you wake up every day saying thank you that I am in Christ, and thank you that in Christ there's no condemnation.
Yeah.
And that's where you start. That's step one. The second thing, if this is true, if in Christ there's no condemnation for you, then you start to realize that God actually cares for you. He's really interested in you, and that you can cast this burden, cast this anxiety onto Him, and trust that to Him. Now, you said a very interesting thing. You are afraid to lose control. And I think that's the big issue when it comes to these things such as eating disorders. It's that control issue. We want to be in control of something in our lives. And for you, you have been meticulously in control of what goes in your mouth. And if you feel like you have eaten too much, you can even control that by spitting the food out or throwing up or whatever it might be. So you are trying to control a situation. And you have to come to this point and say, hey, I'm a human being, for goodness sakes. I'm not independent. I am a dependent creature. And I have to have connections to things that are outside of me. That's just the way it is. Now, God designed us to live in dependence upon Him. Well, that's a scary deal because we give up control, or what we think of is our control. But in essence, we're not giving up control at all. We're just realizing we were never in control to begin with. Yeah. And that's the key, coming to the point and saying, hey, I've never been in control of anything to begin with. God has been at work. And so I'm going to entrust this to Him. And I know that He can work in me to will and to do of His good pleasure, that He can work in me to really anchor me to my new identity in Christ, and that He can work within me to free me from this bondage I have with food. So I think that's where you start. Start with Romans 8:1. Realize there's no condemnation for you in Christ. Realize that Christ is alive, living in you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And then release control of this situation to Him.
Yeah. Jessica, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And thanks for reaching out. And we would love to hear from you again and see, hear how you're doing. Well, it is Basic Gospel. We're getting short of time, but Bob, I think we have time for this question from our friend Jay in Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan. He says, your love for Jesus surely shines through in all that you say and do. His question, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, John talks about the water and the blood. Please explain what John is communicating by these verses.
Well, it's a great passage. There's a lot of misunderstanding about this particular passage. What exactly is John referring to? Is the water and the blood? Is that the piercing of his side? Is that his baptism? You know, what exactly is he talking about? And I think when we put it into context, things start to clear up. So the context of this particular section of 1 John is God's testimony concerning his son. And so in everything that we see as far as Jesus's life, there was a testimony of God the Father about Jesus. So at Jesus's baptism, there was the dove that descended upon the Lord, and that was the identifying mark that clued John the Baptist in that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. And then there was the voice from heaven that said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Well, that was God's testimony concerning his son.
Yeah.
And I think we see the same thing on the cross. And all of that was working together so that we would know that Jesus truly is who he claimed to be, that he is the Son of God, and that in him is life, and that he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So all of these things are working in conjunction with one another to solidify that testimony from God the Father about Jesus Christ the Son.
Thank you, Bob, for that. And Jay, thank you for your question. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, thank you for being with us today for this edition. And thanks again to all of you who support Basic Gospel every month. Please keep in mind that the end of 2020 is coming soon, and we need your help, your support, to reach a need of $210,000 by the 31st. Your most generous Christmas time gift will help Basic Gospel move into 2021, clearly focused on the love and grace of Jesus Christ. It's a grace-filled walk through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, and we want to send you a copy of it. We talk about Making the Case for Grace by Bob Christopher. Please make your most generous Christmas time gift at BasicGospel.net and request your copy of Making the Case for Grace. A reminder also, tomorrow on Basic Gospel, we continue with our study called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We hope you'll be here for that. And between now and our next live broadcast, if you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with life issues, we invite you to call 844-322-2742 and tell us about it. We'll discuss it on Basic Gospel, and hopefully that will be a help to you. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, that's 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you again back tomorrow for Simple Gospel, Simply Grace on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.